5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Hooligans. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Woo! You know, you always think you have a plan for your show every day, Colfax, and then stuff happens, craziness happens, or just big time stories going on, or transfers left and right going on over at Colorado State. Kevin Lytle posted this moment, well, a couple hours ago, about Marcus McElroy, running back, leaving the program. He posted it on his Twitter account. Then he reported shortly after that defensive lineman, great friend of this show, Ellison Hubbard, is also leaving CSU, according to Rivals, and entering the transfer portal. We're going to confirm that right now. We have Ellison Hubbard on the First Advantage Hotline. Ellison, my friend, what in the world's going on?
Brady, how you doing, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I went to go get a haircut. I come out, and my Twitter account's going crazy. So talk to us, man. So obviously this is true, right? You have entered the transfer portal?
Yes, just as this morning I've entered the transfer portal, and it was a tough decision, I'm not going to lie. It wasn't something I just was like, yes, let's do it. No, I've talked to a lot of people significant to me, and I asked, you know, questions, should I stay? Because they proposed it to me, the coaches. They said, would you like to stay and just redshirt and finish out the season? And you still have one more game to play. Or, you know, would you just like to enter the transfer portal? And I thought about it, and I said, you know, I think it's best if I just enter the transfer portal, just, you know, not to just sit around the team and know that I'm really not going to want to be here at the end of the year.
Okay, so talk to us about the process. So we're having listeners text in like crazy, you know, asking about playing time. Is it a coaching situation? Is it the culture? So we'll get into that. So obviously, I mean, you've been a little frustrated, Ellison. We've had the show. It's been great to talk to you, and you always have such a great positive attitude. But the playing time, we know that hasn't been exactly what you've wanted so far this season.
Yeah, and you know, as people have seen, I've played every game. I started every game. I played every game since I've been here, and it's kind of been that way growing up. So, you know, it kind of hurt me that they tell me I have this great athletic ability. I'm the most twitchy D lineman we have, but yet I only play maybe 14 snaps in a game. And last week I played zero. And so, you know, as much as I was happy to be in Iowa and cheer for my teammates, I wanted to be in the game to also impact as well. And, you know, I didn't get that opportunity. I couldn't understand why. And, you know, I tried to talk to some of my teammates, and, you know, they understood, you know, I don't know why you're not playing either when you had a lot of contribution. So that's when I made that decision to talk to the coaches. And, you know, you get a lot of different stories. You know, the day before you ever say you're going to transfer, and the day after you say you're going to transfer. So,
interesting. So, okay. So, clearly frustrated at this point. The Iowa game kind of reaches that peak of frustration for you. So, do you go knock on doors to the coaches and say, hey, I want to talk about my playing time situation? What was that next step in the process?
Yeah, so the next step was I go and talk to the coaches about the playing time. And actually, on Sunday, I was told to come meet with him, my D-line coach, first. And
okay.
So, I went and talked to him. I didn't know what was it about. I didn't even mention anything. We were talking, he was trying to say how, you know, I played for, over the last four games, I played all three positions, which was new to me, but I was able to do it. And then I said, it's kind of frustrating because going into that game, I was told I was playing one position, and I went to play nose, and I didn't practice those all week. So, you know, I had little mess-ups on our important days to walk through. I'll take, you know, full responsibility for not really understanding that, but yet that doesn't, you know, keep me from playing because I know exactly what to do on each play. So then I go in there and, you know, he tells me, well, you know, guys weren't ready to have you in the game and whatnot. And, you know, guys or not guys, but like, you know, just was this, that, and the other, basically of why I didn't play in the game and then how things was going to move forward where I'm playing back to the original position I've always played since I've been here. And then, you know, it kind of just started turning sideways to, you know, what my future is going to look like, probably not going anywhere in all of this to, you know, then I tell them I want a red shirt. And then it becomes a whole different story of, well, we're going to do this. You know, they call my father and they say, we're going to do this. We're going to help him here and all this. And I'm like, well, you know, I've been told day in and day out that, you know, you're a great athlete and whatever, but you got to practice harder. But, you know, I'm like, how harder can I practice for you guys? if I'm not seeing results of me getting on the field, and it's just I'm not practicing hard enough. I'm like, well, what can I do? And, you know, my mom's asked me, what can I do? And then, you know, that was like the first week. Second week, it was Vandy, oh, hub, you look good. You look amazing. You're playing amazing. And then that results to like 15, 20 plays. And then it comes in the next week, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to let people, we're talking to Allison Hubbard. Allison Hubbard, of course, has just entered the transfer portal. So, Allison, you're telling us, so kind of at the beginning of the season, through the first couple of weeks, the coaching staff's kind of like, hey, you're tearing it up, man. You're doing great. We love you. We enjoy the work ethic you're bringing. And then something kind of changed the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. So at the beginning, it was like, you need to practice harder, whatnot. We're going to the first game. Seven reps. Going the next week after one of the players vouched for me, Toby, he's like, I don't like that Hub is just standing on the sideline. He's played. He's a great athlete. Then it turns into, oh, Hub, you look good. You look great, da-da-da. Now I'm playing 20 reps. Then it comes in the next week, and then now I'm just moved to only one package, and that's just pass rush. And then that pass rush only got called five times in the game. And then I play, you know, that five times that pass rush package, and then I get one series, which is like four plays of just regular down, first and second down, and then I play a couple plays of a different package while rotating with three other guys in there. So that's 14 plays, and then I don't know how to explain the last game as, I don't know, there was a multiple things of why I didn't play the last game.
Very interesting, man. And so, okay, talk to us about this because we're getting a lot of texters coming in. And what it sounds like that it ultimately, for you personally, and I can't speak on some of the other players, and I'm going to ask you about that too, but for you, it did come down ultimately to the playing time. Now, what is your relationship with your defensive line coach, with Coach Adazio, with the entire coaching staff? Is it still a positive relationship that just came down to, you know, I'm not getting the playing time I want, or did it kind of turn sour?
So yeah, it didn't go bad or anything at all. What just happened is, you know, maybe they just, I don't know if they didn't see me to be a guy to play more than 20 snaps in a game or what it could be. I had no problems with Coach Adazio. You know, I talked to him, you know, when I see him walking by or maybe a quick little conversation or it would be, you know, maybe I talked to the coaches just in there, hey, how you doing? But I never really like sat and talked to any of them personally or anything. And me and Coach Smith had just been a bit of a relationship, I would say. As, yeah, he was cool at times, and in times he wasn't. And he would claim he coached me hard, but then I was being coached, you know, in my eyes, I was viewing it as I'm being coached way different than how the other guys are. I felt as though I wasn't being coached as a fifth-year senior, but as a newcomer coming in. So, And he claimed to say that he was coaching me to get me better and get me right. But, you know, there's an extent to where you can yell at somebody and be like, hey, you know, that's what I need from you, till now it's like it felt like I just never played a down of football.
Do you feel like, again, you've been with this program for a very long time. You were with this program under Coach Mike Bobo. Do you get a sense that because you are a Mike Bobo guy, that maybe that's why you were treated as if you're not a fifth-year senior, that you're more of a younger guy coming in?
You know, I've heard many things. You know, my dad does a lot of research into this, and that it could have seemed as if that was the case, that they were trying to get rid of Bobo guys. But, you know, I don't know how true that is because they told me to come back, but then again, I don't know if they were telling me to come back because I've had so much dedication to this program and the school or what the case may be. And, you know, maybe if sources are true, you know, from what I've heard from plenty of people who do the media thing, they could be because he's trying to get rid of at least the Bobo guys who weren't the guys that were highly talked about, you know, when coming out of the offices, the transition. So, you know, I don't know what it could have been, but I know for me it just wasn't going anywhere north, you know, in my eyes, and that's why I made that decision to go ahead and just transfer.
So you're not saying, and I just want to make this clear, because you're getting a lot, you know, a lot of people are wondering, and there's, you know, I'm on some of these chat sites, people are saying, oh my gosh, the culture's so bad, these coaches are bad. Let's just make this clear. You aren't necessarily saying that the coaching staff is presenting some kind or providing some kind of negative culture, at least that you've experienced. Yours more or less is coming down to, we have a disagreement on playing time. Is that correct? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's fair to say. It's just a disagreement on playing time. I mean, they're trying to build a culture here, and maybe they're trying to weed out the guys they don't think fit in this culture. But I don't think they're, I think that could come down to, in a sense of what they want to know about the culture, is just that, they're trying to weed out the guys they don't think fit their culture. But for me, and what's going on here, is my playing time. And it's my final year. I don't want to sit on the bench and play 20, at the max 20 plays, and then think I have a shot to play in the NFL with, minimal production.
Ellison Hubbard joining us. Of course, Ellison, great friend of the show. We put together the Ellison Hubbard Show on Mondays. I know we're kind of pivoting, and we're definitely going to be hearing from you throughout the course of whatever your future holds. Now, this is where I'm a little foggy on everything, Ellison. What does it look like for you? You're in the transfer portal. What does the future look like? What does your playing situation look like? Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so, as soon as I hit the portal this morning, I've had coaches from different FBS schools, FCS schools start, blowing my phone up with, hey, I see you in the portal. And some that known me from high school and seen me play over the years were concerned on why I was in the portal, as great of an athlete I was, and they thought I was starting. I had to let them know the same information, that it just wasn't, I guess I wasn't being played a lot for some certain reason that I don't understand. And so they were like, well, man, we'd love to have you and be a great fit at these other schools. And so, it's been going good right now in whatever school I decide to go to. I'm allowed to early enroll, and I'll be in there in January.
And so you could play, in a sense, you still have a full season, right?
Yeah. I would be able to do the spring ball, summer, and fall camp, and then have that full season, which would be my official final season.
Ellison, I'm not going to ask you specifics on schools or anything like that, but there are people wondering about local. Let me just ask this. Is there a possibility that you would stay in the state of Colorado? Let me ask it like that.
It could be possible. I've had Greeley actually reach out to me recently. Yeah,
okay.
So, Greeley's reached out to me, and they're telling me that they only have, maybe you can attest to this, Brady, that they have just the DN making all the plays right now on the defensive line. Now, I haven't really seen much of Greeley, so I don't know if that is fully true or not.
Yeah, it's all I know right now. I mean, they have a pretty salty defense for sure. We're sitting here talking about it off the air. We're all thinking it. We're wondering it. So, yeah, it would be cool, because I know, Ellison, you have a lot of fans in the state, and for several reasons. I've told you this off air, and I'll tell you on air. You have a future in the media career, no doubt about it. You're going to be able to do this, and I think that was one of the fun things about the radio show. And I know Crazy Carl's, too. I just want to make this clear. They love Ellison Hubbard. They're crazy about you. They're obviously big time supporters of Colorado State. So they're looking for Colorado State Rams. So, and that's why we're going to kind of pivot and do some different things. But, I think that, you just have a lot of fans in this area.
Yeah.
And so this is why this one, I think, feels like a pretty big blow for Colorado State Rams fans. Not on your side of it, but just the fact that, okay, what's going on over at Colorado State, to where we're losing one of the guys that's been around for such a long time, a great guy too, and a pretty damn solid football player.
Yeah, and I can understand that, but I'm always going to have love for CSU and all the people who support me. I love you guys for that. That's why I hope to continue with you, so I can continue talking to them, maybe not in a CSU manner, but at least in a manner of football and whatnot, and just keep giving my insight. I mean, like I said to you earlier and other people, I wish it didn't end the way it's ending, but, sometimes you got to look out for yourself and just, find what's a path that's going to help you get to where you want to get to.
Yeah, and again, You know, we're getting a lot of texters coming in just saying, you know, hey, we get that it's about the playing time. But they get the sense, Ellison, that they can sense a little frustration in your voice, man. And there is. There's a little frustration, and no doubt about it, because I know you had big goals going into the season personally.
I did, too. And honestly, it just came down to me not liking what the D-line coach had to say. It's been, you know, wishy-washy. Too many, this is going to happen, this, then it doesn't show up. Or he's going to tell me this, and then it flips the next week. So for me, it's just been too much of not a clear one understanding. It's been too many different understandings, and that's what hurt me and frustrated me to leave the boys I love playing with on the field, and, you know, especially leaving the season. It's not what I wanted to do. But like I said, you know, you got to make the decisions, because this is my final year, and if I don't leave and I play in five games, then that's it for my ability to go play, you know, at a school that will, you know, at least the coaches will help me go to, you know, that next level.
Well, okay, so we're getting a lot of other players that we're hearing about, Ellison. You know, we've talked about McElroy. You know, earlier in the month, we talked about Tanner Hollins, a Colorado kid. Can you speak on that at all? There are people wondering, all right, so there's playing time with you, and you're making that pretty clear, but you're also kind of saying, hey, there, I was told one thing, and then the next week I was told another thing. So there's some other things going on. As far as these other players, can you speak on to any of that? Because when you start to see one or two transfers, okay, and now you see a bunch, and I get it, we're in this new age where the transfer portal is big, and it happens all the time now like crazy. Do you know of anything else going on? Is there other players that you've talked to that have transferred out, that have entered the portal, that are frustrated, or is it boiled down to a playing time situation for them too?
I think it comes to playing time, and basically just the same thing as what I've said about myself, is that, you know, we're told we'll get our opportunities, our chances, and then it just never happens. And so that's pretty much what's happening with players, is that they're being told one thing and then they don't see that action happening, you know, when it comes to that time. And that's what I think pretty much is what happened, at least for the last couple of guys that transferred, and, you know, in the same situation as mine. It's just we're being told one thing and it doesn't pop up when that time comes.
And that's pretty much playing time, right? They're telling you, hey, you keep doing this, you're going to play here, you're going to do this, don't worry, and then it doesn't happen, and then that just starts to frustrate you a little more.
Yeah, I don't know how long I could have handled that, and I don't know where that would have led me if I would have just kept believing what they told me and then nothing happens.
Ellison, we love you, man. We wish the best. I see this tweet here that says, hey, I think Ellison is doing a great job of being diplomatic, but it's very clear that there's a ton of dysfunction within the coaching staff. Ellison's very bright and a wonderful Ram and a salty player. I can't imagine the benefit of running a guy like him off. I talked to you off the air, too, and it's not necessarily you said the same things off the air. And you've been very clear from the first conversation we had this morning that, hey, I don't want to bury CSU. I don't want to come out here and bash them. This was a personal choice with playing time. But at the end of the day, you're also saying, hey, I do feel like I was told one thing this week and told another thing the next.
Yeah. And, you know, to be honest, I think that there could be a misunderstanding maybe in how they should handle the players. I don't know for sure, but I know for one thing is they definitely didn't want to lose me, and I don't think there's anything, you know, with no action that they could have done to keep me there. That was just one thing. I know that probably hurt them to lose at least two senior leaders like me and Marcus in a situation like this.
And you were so optimistic. Even on Monday, you were talking about going and beating this San Jose State, and this offense was getting get it rolling too. I mean, I'm with the texter earlier. It just, I mean, for better or worse, you know, I don't know. And again, I'm not a coach, and I know playing time is one thing, and they want to get their situation going and all that. But I know a lot of fans share that same sentiment as far as saying, hey, there can't be much to gain by losing an Ellison Hubbard.
Yeah, I mean, to lose, in their eyes, a twitchy athletic D lineman is, you know, hurtful, you know, because now that means other schools have their opportunities to jump on that and use that player and let his ability, you know, release on that field, unleash on that field. So I think that's what hurts them. But in the end, that new team that gets me, they're going to get a healthy, ready-to-go Ellison Hubbard that's going to give us all.
Well, man, we'll be watching out for you. As soon as you get some news, you know, I have your number, so, and I'll probably just text you, and we'll get you back on the show, my friend.
And I'll let you know.
Like I said, we're going to pivot some ideas and some things going forward as the Monday show that we do is, yes, it is predominantly a focus on the Colorado State Rams. But no doubt we'll be in touch with you, my friend, and we want to get you on the program on a regular basis. Just stay in touch, and we wish you the best, and we'll be looking out for the next move for Ellison Hubbard.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to miss you guys. But again, I'm going to be hopefully on Brady's show on Fridays or whatever days we can make happen.
All right, my buddy. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Awesome. Talk to you soon.
That is Ellison Hubbard. Think we covered it. Did he say – he said Greeley. He did. I'm just hey, that's what he said. That's what he said. listen, as far as being diplomatic, I get that. But I'm going to tell you this right now. Ellison Hubbard is the kind of guy – that's not going to try to bury somebody unless it's like, you know, unless something really bad was going on. So here's the summary of that interview. Ellison's told at the beginning of the season he's going to get some playing time. He told me this off the air before the season started. They say, hey, I'm really twitchy. I've got that twitch, that defensive line skill set that a lot of people don't have. I think I can take it to the next level. They think they can get me ready for the NFL even. That changed to he didn't play at Iowa. Didn't play at all. Now, I'm not an idiot when it comes to football. There could be guys that are looking great in training camp. They look great in week one, and suddenly they don't look and fit the system as well in week three or four. That is coaching. That is football. So we that's not something that we're necessarily going to, I don't think, rip the coaching staff apart for. But there is a trend. I mean, you are seeing a lot of players transferring. We are going to try to get Tanner Hollins on, the star, you know, the Gatorade player of the year, the Colorado running back. I mean, this guy was, you know, at least touted as being a pretty big-time player. So we're going to see. We're going to try to get him on, too. But, yeah, you start to look at a lot of transfers. I will say this. This is the day and age that we're in, too. If a player doesn't feel like they're getting treated right as far as playing time, they can enter the transfer portal. So I will caveat all of that with the fact that we are in a new age of college football. You don't like your playing time, you can enter the transfer portal and just be done with it because you're frustrated. Great stuff from Ellison, though. And we do appreciate his honesty for coming on the show and talking to us. It was fantastic. 27 minutes after the hour, we got a lot to go. CSU to the AAC? I mean, wow, there's always something going on with Colorado State, I guess. 27 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Wow, it's 12:32. Time flies when you're having fun, I guess. That was great. And you know what? That was great to hear from Ellison Hubbard. Texter here, noob. Is it me or is Adazio trying to turn CSU into Boston College? There are a lot of transfers coming here from that school. Yeah, I mean, is that normal, though? Seems like that would be normal. You're at a school and you're like, these are guys that I recruited. I'm just going to get them to come over here. So I get it. Yeah, wacky. Wacky stuff, man. Transfers happen, though. This is part of the game. And we just happened to have a really good relationship with Ellison where I thought, man, let's get you on to talk about it. And, yeah, we won't be doing the Ellison Hubbard show anymore. And that's not because Crazy Carl's and the station said, you know what, we don't value hearing from Ellison. The point of that program, just so the listeners know, the point of that one-hour installment on Mondays was to talk all things Colorado State, to get the player's perspective. Well, if you do the math, Ellison entered the transfer portal and is not a CSU player anymore. Again, in defense of the staff, I'm just going to say this. Transfers are happening left and right in college football. So, yeah, I'm sure every coach, every program, every time a kid transfers, especially in the middle of the season, the questions are coming up. That all being said, seems like there's been a lot recently. I mean, two seniors today that we just hear about. So, sounds like playing time. If you round it out, it ultimately sounds like playing time. But there certainly seems to be a little more frustration there from Ellison, especially with the defensive line coach. I mean, it just seems like maybe some things were told to him that changed. And I mean, in football and in sports, doesn't that happen? That does happen too. So I can see why a player would be like, what changed? I mean, I feel like I'm putting the same. Again, that's where the coaches and the players know more than we'll ever know on that side of it. 34 minutes after the hour. We got to take a break here, right? Are we in the second break? I'm so lost on this show now. That was a long interview. We got Mark Johnson coming up. Let's talk about the Buffs offense. That's a nice transition from what seems like shaky stuff going on at CSU to an absolute dumpster fire on the offensive side of the ball for the Buffs. What are they doing to fix it? We'll talk to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans. This is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-nine minutes after the hour, welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Joining me, as he does right around this time every Wednesday, we're a little late today, Mark. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, my friend, always great to catch up with you.
Good to be on with you. Well, it must have been very important.
There's nothing more important than talking to you, my friend. but I tell you, we're navigating through. We had another CSU player. I know CSU is blasphemy to say that word in front of you, Mark, but yeah. Another transfer situation. So that's tough to navigate through. And I guess this is the day and age we're in where anytime you see a player or a handful of players enter the transfer portal, your immediate reaction is going to be what's going on with the program when it could just be a playing time situation.
Well, there is that. And then when you've got, you know, a seasonal Lloyd Murray Jr. just jumped in a transfer portal for the Buffaloes here last couple of days.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he wasn't playing a lot, so there is that. What I don't understand about guys jumping in the middle of the season is where are you going? Right?
Right.
So if you're in a circumstance where you're trying to get yourself better so you can play, and you jump in the middle of the season and then give up all those practice reps and everything for the remainder of the season so that you can go someplace else. I guess I just don't understand that. It doesn't make any sense to me. I get it if you get through a season. I used to have a rule for my kids. They always had to do something, right? And they couldn't quit in the middle of it. You had to finish the semester, the season, whatever it was, and then you can jump. And so I guess I don't understand the mindset of that. If it's me, I'm thinking, okay, I probably don't want to stay at this institution, but I'm going to get everything I can out of my preparation, getting better, getting stronger, taking reps, all those different things, and get to the end of the season, and then I'll find someplace new to play. And so, yeah, I guess I just don't understand that, what's going through the mind of young people. But then again, I'm not a young person.
Yeah, well, and I, you know, like I said, there's a lot to it. You and I have had several conversations about the portal and all the new stuff going on with college football, and my goodness, we might have a lot of conversations about the conference realignment and all this stuff happening. I can't keep up with it anymore, man. It's fun. It's fun to talk about, but there's just so much happening every day.
It's nuts. You know, we just saw, was it yesterday when the news came out about CSU and Air Force maybe going to the AAC and that whole deal. And then I just saw something with the Labor Relations Board coming out with some statement about college athletes are employees. And Dan Wetzel was just pontificating about this and what that would mean if they're employees and are going to be paying taxes. And this whole thing is just getting crazy out there right now. And, you know, you've heard me say this before. When it's all said and done, and who knows when that's going to be, I'm not sure it's going to be better off for the student-athlete. I think there are going to be some people who are going to make money. Always follow the money. And no matter what topic you're talking about, Brady, always follow the money and find out who's behind a lot of these things. For example, when Northwestern a few years ago, was talking about unionizing, there was some lawyer, had no connection to Northwestern, but he was kind of behind this thing, and he was kind of pushing the levers on it. There's always something going on behind the scenes, and when it's all said and done, this thing's going to change markedly, and I'm going to you can hit the tape right now, play it back for me in 5 years. I don't think it'll be better for the student-athletes. It'll alter the game. Some people will get full benefit, no doubt about that. I don't think it's going to be better for student-athletes.
Well, and when you look at the conference realignment stuff, too, we know what that's about. You know, ultimately, that's about getting better, bigger TV deals. And you're talking about a lot of teams just jumping laterally, too, from one group of five to another group of five. Like, I don't understand it. Are we going to get to the point someday where it's – I mean, we had a CBS correspondent on months ago that was like, hey, I think it's just going to be – you know, four monster conferences with 16 teams per conference, and then that's the way it is, and the rest are out left in the cold. They got to figure something else out.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to that. You and I have talked about that many times. I've always, you know, the number I was told years ago at the top, you know, 65 or 70. So whatever that looks like, that's going to happen. And I think what we're talking about with CSU and with Air Force and everybody else from Group of Five conferences, everyone's trying to position themselves to be in a position that when it does split, you can hopefully be on the side that goes and creates that larger organization, whatever that's going to be. And so this is right now, this is all about positioning. Everyone's trying to figure out where's the – you know, it's a game of musical chairs, Brady, and everyone wants to make sure when the music stops – they've got some place to sit, and it's going to get real interesting.
That's a great way to put it, too. Musical chairs. That's kind of how it feels. Yep. All right, let's head over to the Buffs and talk about, you know, what's going on with the Buffs at this situation. Offense looked a little better against Arizona State, but I know way far away from what they want to look like overall.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, it was it better? Yeah, they ran the ball more effectively. And I think that was something. In regards to the passing game, they passed for 67 yards. Right now, through four games, I was given this by a member of the media just yesterday, the Colorado Buffaloes are on pace to become the first team to, again, you're only four games in, so you're a third of the way through the season. If this continued at this rate, you'd be the only team that in the history of college football, modern era, that threw the ball a minimum of 20 times a game and averaged under 100 yards passing per contest. Now, academies do that all the time, but they only throw the ball four or five times a game. So think about that for a second. That's an inept and very ineffective passing game. When you're throwing 20 passes or more a game and you're not averaging over 100 yards passing, and that's kind of where things are right now for Colorado. So did they try and get more creative last week? I think they did. I mean, they did a few things that they were trying to. They ran the quarterback a little bit more. You know, they ran a jet sweep or two. They had some screens in there. They were trying to do a couple of things like that to, you know, somehow kickstart this whole thing. But when you looked at the ultimate numbers, when it was all said and done, it didn't get the job done. Now, they ran for 183 or 184 yards, whatever it was, so that was effective. They're going to have to keep doing that. But, you know, at some point in time, they've got to start throwing the football because as good as the defense is, and unless you're just going to switch to, you know, the option like Air Force or Army or something like that and just, you know, run for 300 yards a game, this just isn't going to cut. You're not going to win games at a high level.
Well, and you know, with going up against USC, I know that there's a lot of Buffs fans right now that are kind of pressing that panic button, which is unfortunate because, Mark, the defense has looked pretty good for the most part, and I think we talked about it with that Minnesota game. It's like, you know, over time, you know, stop after stop after stop, if you're out there so much, you're eventually going to wear down. And defensively, yeah, 35 points, you look at that and you think that's bad, but when you watch these full games, I mean, defensively, they are keeping games close.
No, that defense is good enough to win football games. There's no doubt about it. Now, are they the 85 Bears? No, they're not the 85 Bears. But I'm not even sure they're the 2016 Colorado Buffaloes, which had one of the better defenses in school history. But it is a solid defense made up of a lot of young guys. So you feel real good about what's going on that side of the ball. You know, when you boil it down on the offensive side, and I know, you know, coaches don't want to talk about this, they don't want to admit this, it really comes down to quarterback play. I mean, it's as simple as that. Because yes, there were passes dropped. There was the third down situation. Montani Lemonius Craig should have caught the ball. It should have been a first down on a throw from Brandon Lewis. But he didn't, okay? That's going to happen on occasion. We understand that. Drops happen every once in a while, as disappointing as they are. But right now, everything's coming out a count slow and many times a step behind. And that's affecting a passing game. And so, you know, it's got to be addressed. They're working with Brendan Lewis. I was kind of shocked we didn't see Drew Carter on Saturday down at Arizona State. Mm-hmm. I thought that there was an opportunity late in the ballgame to put him in just to see. You know, and this is the issue that becomes, I think, for CU fans right now. There's a frustration out there. I get it. Believe me, I'm hearing from all of them. And there's an option out there right now. And that now, whether it's perceived or whether it's real, Drew Carter's an option. And the fact that there hasn't been an opportunity or at least a decision made to put him in still leaves that fairy tale out there. I mean, it's like the backup quarterback. We always love the backup quarterback, right? And then you put the backup quarterback or the starter gets hurt and the backup has to start and you go, oh, man, we didn't want to see any more of that. So as long as there is that perceived option out there and lack of production, there's going to be frustration out there. And you know, the thing about it is, from Carl Durrell's standpoint, that he's got to be careful about is that can begin to bleed throughout the team. And then what happens? You get unhappy wide receivers that go back to what we started this conversation talking about. I mean, you know, obviously you're like, well, if I can't get the ball, I don't want to be a wide receiver in an offense I can't get the ball, then maybe I need to go someplace else.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation for sure. I think when there's a bad team, the backup quarterback's always the most popular guy,
sure,
right?
Sure.
And then I don't know if the Buffs are a bad team. I know the offense is bad right now, but the defense, like you said, the defense is good enough to win games. What time does everything get started for you guys going up against USC this weekend? And yeah, we'll see if maybe this offense can take another step forward.
Well, you'd like to hope so. Anyway, it's an early game. It's a 12 noon game, so we hit here at 10 o'clock, and you can pick it up on, you know, the Colorado Football Network in Denver. It's on KOA and the Varsity Network app and Sirius XM 197 and all over the place. So, yeah, we're keeping our fingers crossed because if this – and this doesn't have to be the greatest show on turf here. I mean, it doesn't have to be the best offense of all time. It just has to be solid. And I think if this was a solid offense right now, you'd be talking about, at the very minimum, I believe, a 3-1 football team. And not a 1-3 football team. And so they've just got to find some offensive productivity.
Yeah, no question about it, Mark. My friend, appreciate you as always. We'll be looking out for you. And, yeah, we'll see what happens against a USC team. You know, they're looking to kind of find their way, too, after a loss to Oregon State. So this should be an interesting game.
Here's something to think about for this game this weekend. You've already got Sam Noyer, who was the second-team All-Pac-12 selection a year ago. He's benched at Oregon State, right? There is a chance that Keenan Slovis, they've had some issues there. You could have the first and second team quarterbacks of last year both benched not even halfway through the following season. It's really an odd deal, and they've got their coaching situation, and that thing's they've got their own problems. So, listen, neither the Buffs are feeling sorry for the Trojans nor the Trojans for the Buffaloes coming into this one, I guarantee you.
Yeah, there's blood in both waters, I suppose. We'll see who takes care of it. Appreciate you, Mark, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
All right, buddy. See you.
All right, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Hey, if there was a weekend to get it right for the Buffs, let's go up against USC. It's like a dumpster fire right now. So that might be just what the doctor ordered. All right, we'll wrap up the first hour of the show. A lot to get to. We got to talk our Power to Play Sports poll question. Do the Nuggets have enough on that roster right now to win a title this season? That's the Power to Play Sports poll question. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Northern Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NOCO now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. The whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Crazy first hour, Colbs. Where's your head after all this stuff, man? I mean, Ellison Hubbard entering the transfer portal. A lot of Rams entering the transfer portal. I'm on these sites right now on Twitter. Everybody's going off on the interview. I think it was pretty fair, but it was also kind of like, there might be other things happening that were like, hey, coaches are saying one thing and doing another. It's crazy.
My head's spinning around. It's hard to grasp right now, but
yeah, and I think that you got to be responsible with this stuff too. Because if you're in the media, especially college media, we have relationships with the schools, You know, we have relationships with the University of Northern Colorado, Colorado State, Colorado. And when there's stories like this that can be perceived as negative, yeah, I try to take a very professional approach and not just bury one side or the other. That's not my goal in this. I have interviewed Coach Addazio several times, I would say, over the last couple of years. I've enjoyed every one of them. And I talked to him down at the Blake Street Tavern thing for that football summit and enjoyed that as well. Ellison saying basically didn't have a lot of one-on-one interaction with Addazio. We'd see each other in the hall and stuff, and then that was. And if that's true, then you certainly think that that's an interesting one, considering that the basketball program a few years ago under Larry Eustace, you know, not Larry Eustace, but it was said that hey, a lot of players couldn't reach out to Joe Parker. They, you know, they said there's an open door policy and all this stuff, but you know that was part of that big Coloradoan story after the Eustace story. Bottom line is, it's not really a great look. When kids enter the transfer portal, I think it's just human nature for our brains to immediately go, ooh, wonder what's going on over there. But I do believe what it boils down to for Ellison is that it was a playing time issue. That's what it came down to. I noticed it. We loved continuing to do the show because Ellison was still there at practice, still a part of the team, so it was very insightful, very fun. But yeah, we talked about it, we noticed it, and at the end of the day, it seems like that's what it was about, that maybe, you know, and can you blame coaches for saying, and I'm asking, can you blame a coach, defensive line coach, assistant coach, whatever, for saying things like, hey, you know, week one, we love you, man, you're kicking butt, you're doing great here. I mean, Tim Tebow, John Elway said Tim Tebow was our guy. He's our guy going forward. And then Peyton Manning comes available. And bye-bye, Tim Tebow. So it's not like things change. Better players get better, maybe, and they take over. Or just you're not fitting exactly our style of defensive line play anymore. That can all happen. So I'm trying to see both sides as much as we possibly can because I know Ram Nation's freaking out right now. Second hour, we got a lot to talk about. Do the NBA? Do the Nuggets have the roster that it's going to take to win an NBA title this season, even with Jamal Murray out? We're going to talk about it all coming up next. Broncos talk as well. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.